The Dub D Dub Review podcast is sponsored by The Magic for Less Travel. Book your next Disney or Universal Orlando vacation with The Magic for Less Travel. They are an authorized Disney vacation planner and a Universal Orlando specialist. Their complimentary Magic Plus concierge service is designed around you and your needs. The agents at The Magic for Less Travel have years of first-hand experience and will work with you to plan a vacation that meets your needs. Their first-hand knowledge, tips, and expertise will save you time and money and help you travel like a VIP. They also offer guests who book special promotions with all qualified Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and Adventures by Disney packages. Right now, there's a Walt Disney World Summer Savings. You can save up to 25% of rooms at select Walt Disney World resorts for stays most nights May 28th through August 31st, 2017. This offer must be booked by July 14th. For more information, see themagicforless.com. Hello and welcome to the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Peter Ponikorvo. How you doing, big guy?
Good.
Is that all? Are you good, as in we're good to record, or are you really good? Because I got you a great guest and a tough topic today.
I know. I was racking my brain for about 45 minutes today.
Just to come up with
trying
ideas.
Trying to come up with stuff.
All right.
Some of these are going to be like, people are going to expect me to say them, and other ones are going to be like, what was he thinking? So we'll see how this goes.
All right. So clearly, kind of the way we establish this is you have pretty good ideas. My ideas are often fantastic, bordering to god-awful. So we need someone who's going to really bring the talent level up. But more importantly, Pete, he's local. He's one of us. Yeah. He's right here, right?
And he's a multi contest winner, isn't he?
Like every contest we've ever had.
I know.
He wins. I don't know how he does it. So, Scott Gerke, thank you for coming on today, buddy.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm waiting to hear who the great guest is. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's going to be a winner, I promise, Scott.
All right.
Well, no, you know what? Actually, since we've been communicating on Facebook, you know, I wanted to have you on because you literally live 20 minutes from me. We used to live a lot closer, and yep. You and Pete live 20 minutes really roughly apart. We eat at a lot of the same restaurants. It just seems like our arcs have never crossed before, but they're going
well,
to.
Well, it takes a lot of work to avoid you guys, but I've managed to do it so far.
Exactly. Exactly.
What's scary is we probably have eaten at the same place, possibly at the same time, and just not known it.
Right?
When it occurred.
Hey,
that's true.
It just goes to show, Scott, that I guess wherever you go, I would venture to say even past the United States in the world, that it doesn't take long, and it's really not that hard to find Disney fanatics just like yourself. You know, here in the city, Pete and I have met such awesome people, Tim and Amy and the Nymans, and you, and we're all local. You know, everybody is close by, so what an awesome community it is, and it's so close, and yet we're what, 1,300 miles away from where we want to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. One might say it's a small world after all.
Oh, man, did I set that up?
One might.
Right?
And again, one might not. You never know.
Pete, that was a bump set spike, right? All right, let me throw
it was a softball, I'll give you that.
All right.
Someone had to do it.
I'm going to throw some trivia at you because, Scott, I pose this idea. We actually had a really complex show kind of developed about how long ago did I pose the original idea, about a month and a half ago to you. And I'll be honest, Pete and I, we kind of looked at each other one day and said, we got nothing. We literally had nothing. So we changed the show, and this is going to be even better. And it deals with Imagineering. So as we're apt to do, I've got a little trivia. You guys ready for it?
Shoot.
I'm ready.
All right. So, essentially, in a nutshell, okay, I want to quote, this is, there's a virtual asterisk in the air. A lot of my information, at least for the trivia, comes from Wikipedia. So if it was my son, they would already fail him in class because Wikipedia is not a viable source. But if you look for good reading material, the Wikipedia page on Walt Disney Imagineering is incredibly complex and detailed. Probably 50% accurate, but we're not going to let that, you know, stop the good story. So
70% of the time, it works every time.
Every time. I like it. All right, so the Imagineering Research and Development Incorporated, they are the research and development arm of the Walt Disney Company, okay? But it was not originally called Imagineering. It was originally known as Walt Disney Incorporated. And then the name was changed to what?
WED.
Peter, you were all over that. WED, yeah. Enterprises, very good. So the initials meaning Walter Elias Disney, okay? So how many different job titles are available under the banner of Imagineering?
I honestly would not even know where to begin on that.
Some of the titles they list are illustrators, architects, engineers, lighting designers, show writers, graphic designers, and the ubiquitous many more. So, but in total, how many different job titles, and now this is going to be a weird number because it says over X number. What do you think?
I'm going crazy, and I'm going to say over 1,200. Whoa. I know that's crazy, but
I'm going to say over 100.
Okay. Peter, you're a little closer. It's Peter said $1. He was going to go with the under no matter what, right?
We'll edit that out.
Over 140 different job titles. Again, Imagineer includes illustrators, architects, engineers, lighting designers, show writers, graphic designers, car salesmen, and many more.
Right? I think one of those got added by someone on the show.
It was Wikipedia. There's a lot of information here. So here's the
proof that anybody can go in and change something on Wikipedia, I guess.
I'm trying to edit it right now. All right. So the term Imagineering was introduced when? Okay. And by who? Uh-oh. All of a sudden you're thinking, wait a minute. I thought it was a Disney term. It's not.
Oh, boy. I'm going to pass.
Good. Scott, you're spot on tonight.
That was the equivalent of betting a dollar.
Right?
Well, I don't want to take all the attention, you know. I'm trying to make you look good. It's not my show.
There you go. I should probably do a little more research to find out who this company is.
I'm going to say it was... Yeah, man. I'm going to say Bob Iger... I'm going to say Bob Iger came up with it.
Okay, no. It was introduced in the 1940s by a company called Alcoa. And if I do a quick search of Wikipedia under Alcoa, it's the Aluminum Company of America. Yeah. Right?
They still make wheels for semi-trailers most of the time.
Okay. Alcoa used it to describe it as a blending of imagination and engineering. Okay? From what Wikipedia tells me, Disney filed for a copyright for the term in 1967, claiming he first used it in 1962, though there is a footnote saying it's highly dubious, so we should discuss this matter. But we'll save that for another show. That gets us to our show today. Imagineers clearly are some of the most ingenious and inspired artists and architects that are almost virtually on the planet. And their ideas are legendary. So what we're doing is we think we've got a way to help the Imagineers, and we're going to take the existing rides that are in the parks and attractions, and we're going to brainstorm and think, where could they possibly fit best? So is there a ride at Magic Kingdom, and it might fit well with the theming of Epcot? Or is there a ride over at the studios that fits really good over perhaps at a resort? So we're going to do a little bit of Imagineering Amateur Hour today. So, put you on a few of these. I said we should have a specific number, but truth of the matter is, we could go until kind of the ideas run out here. But before that, Scott, I want to know about you. Hit me up with your information. You're a Disney nut, like we all are. Tell me about you. When did you first get crazy about this?
When did I first get crazy would probably be when me and my wife went on our honeymoon. I've been going my whole life to Disney with my parents, who are DVC members. I even was in the college program in 2002.
Your mom and dad are DVC members too?
Well, my father was, but my mom is now. Yeah.
Okay.
They're DVC, or she's a DVC member. I did the college program in 2002. But I really, like I said, I really got into it getting ready for the honeymoon because we went over New Year's, and I knew I was facing an animal that I had not seen before. So I did all the prep that I could.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I got really into park news and all the podcasts, listening to you guys. That's really how I got way into it. I think over my head.
Pete, we're not going to gloss past this. The Disney College Program back in 2002? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. I'm...
That is correct.
We want to know all about it. Where were you stationed? What was your job? Tell us all about that.
Where was I? I was stationed at, oh boy, the name escapes me at the moment.
Okay.
Which is embarrassing.
Do you remember which park it was in?
Yeah, I do. It's in Magic Kingdom, okay. Tomorrowland. And I cannot think. It's
food service or was it attraction?
No, it's food service. It was an outdoor restaurant right when you go down Main Street and turn right. It was that corner outdoor restaurant.
Okay.
Quick service.
We're going to give you a pass because if you came up with something like Small World, I was like, Scott, you can't miss Small World, but no. Quick food service, you got a pass. Okay.
It is honestly closed every time we go on vacation. So.
Okay. Yeah, I know exactly. You walk through it to get to Tomorrowland now.
Yeah. It's the noodle station now, yeah. But I can't remember what it was called.
Okay.
When I worked there.
So how long does that college program last? When did you go down there? Is it a 4 month, a 6 month? Was it fall
to
spring? Okay.
It's 4 month. I went down for the spring. It's very loose on the word internship. I'll say that much.
Okay.
I don't know how bussing tables really prepared me for my future. But it's a lot of fun. If anyone is interested in doing it, I don't want to kind of turn them away from it. It's a great experience.
I don't think they're going to let me in it, though.
Not now, Pete. No.
You got to be in college, right?
You'd be the creepy guy, right, Pete?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were indoctrinated early, and then you went hardcore. You went all in. I mean, you literally worked there for 4 months.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
It was quite the experience.
Okay.
They would actually let us stop working to watch the fireworks at night or to watch the parade. It was pretty awesome. And I actually got moved over to the Wide World of Sports.
Okay.
Where I worked for the Brave Spring Training.
Whoa.
And I saw Chipper Jones in the tunnel. But that was about as close as I got to any of the players.
That was the first name was Chipper Jones. As I know that he still owns a home down there. I believe it's in Celebration. And part of that was convenience factor. You know, he was so close for spring training for his home. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know he owns one in Celebration. Or he did own one in Celebration. So,
Well, we got to...
He was supposed to be the one that was doing the baseball for the other subject for the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know where Chipper Jones lived because I'm not a stalker like some people. But...
Exactly. He lives at 1717, yeah, second floor. No, how could you not know who Chipper Jones is, right? One of the he's a legendary Atlanta Brave. So.
Oh, sure.
Cool. All right, so you're a DVC member now, too, just recently, right?
That is correct.
Cool. Tell me about that. So where do you own? How many points do you own right now?
We own at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani Village, and we have a whopping 250 points.
That's more than twice what I got.
That is a huge meatball to buy into.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, we go with family, so we're kind of thinking ahead.
Okay.
I wish I had 250 points.
If you did resale, you could have done that.
Oh! He just slam dunked on you, Pete.
If I wanted to be harassed, I'd call Scott and B back up and have them on the show again this week. Sheesh.
I think they just probably clapped at what I just said.
Right. I'm sure they did. I'm sure I'll have a note on my my Facebook account as soon as they hear this episode.
Nice.
See, Pete, we told you.
Yep.
All right, guys, I get it. Next time.
So, Scott, you did think ahead. You've got a new addition to the family, so my advice to you is use those studios as much as you can until it becomes where you have to get the one bedroom. But what do you think about that? I know you, you're a proud papa.
And I sure am.
Your pictures are adorable. So
thank you. Little Han Solo.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get into that for just 1 second, because you've got an adorable name, if you don't mind sharing. Because on Facebook, he's just a peach. Today you put a picture of him in a hat today that was just ridiculous. I think your title was Cutest Baby Ever. And
oh, yeah.
I got to be honest with you, by looking at it, I thought to myself, yeah, he might have a strong case there. So,
just you know, I don't think I'm biased on that. I think that it is actually a fact. He is the cutest baby in the world.
That's awesome. What is his first name? Would you mind telling?
His first name is Harrison.
Okay.
Name? And like I alluded to before, yep. I had tried for Han Solo.
Okay.
I don't know if I was joking or serious, because I'm pretty sure if my wife said yes, his name would be Han Solo right now. But the backup was Harrison.
Beautiful.
And we ended up going with that.
That's just awesome. It shows how the Disney craziness just permeates everywhere, you know, in our lives. So, good for you. That's just awesome. You got your family of three. You got your 250 points at Kidani Village. You live close to us. Pete, I know there's a pizza and beer family function coming up here pretty soon. You know? What do you think?
Yeah.
Right? We're in.
Absolutely.
All right, you guys ready for my, I guess we're going to call this the attraction realignment, but really it's truly Imagineering Amateur Hour. You ready for the first attraction that might be moved to another park and be better suited?
Sure.
Ready to go?
Let's do it.
Who'd like to volunteer first? Should we go guest first, Pete, or you want to go first?
Well, we should always go guest first.
But... guest first it is. Scott, lead
should
off.
Should we let the great guest go first? Because I'm still waiting for him to come on.
He couldn't make it. It's us. It's us three, okay. Right?
It's just the three of us.
I'm very sorry for you guys. I'm gonna save the one that'll get me hated for last. Because I want people to kind of be on my side the whole time. So for the first one, I'm gonna go with Aladdin's Magic Carpet Ride.
Okay,
it's going to Morocco. And I think the biggest thing with that one is it doesn't really fit in Adventureland. It's kind of like an eyesore. It gets in the way. You get spit on by a camel if you don't want to, if you're not paying attention. But I think it would fit into Morocco more and bring attention to one of the countries that I think gets walked past more than any other.
Hmm. You know what? And you're probably right in Adventureland. I never thought of it, but now when you do think of it, you have Agrabah, you have the desert, right next to the Enchanted Tiki Room, which is largely Polynesia, not more than 20 feet apart. I probably never thought about it until this moment. And that sticks out like a sore thumb, Pete. What do you think about that?
Well, we got to keep some of these moves in mind, because some of them are going to affect other moves, I think.
Okay.
I know some of mine affect other moves.
Oh, man. Now you really got complex. Scott, I give you credit for that one. That one's, it might seem basic, but it's genius because you're right. And on that side of the park for Epcot, there's not a whole lot. You know, it is a kind of I don't want to say walk by because that's not true. I do like Morocco. But if you're not into Moroccan food or Middle Eastern food and the thought of shopping doesn't appeal to you, it's a walk by at that point then, you know. So that would draw you in. That's really good. That's a good opener. Peter.
You're welcome. Show's over.
Show's over. We got one. And then a high note. Peter, what do you got? Can you top a spinning camel?
I'm going to do this one just off the bat because everybody's expecting it from me anyway. Frozen Ever After is getting out of my Norway. It's going into Fantasyland at Magic Kingdom where the princesses belong. So the princesses end up in Fantasyland. I can get my Maelstrom back. I'm happy, and everybody still gets the ride that those two chicks ride. So everybody, it works out for everybody.
I actually left that out on my list because I knew you were going to go
See?
There.
Yeah, of course.
Scott, I left it off my list too because Pete. Yeah, exactly. We expected you to have it, Pete. We didn't want to worry about it. Okay. I don't know if there's much to comment on. You've hammered this one for shows and shows and shows. I get it. Do you think they would bring the Maelstrom, though, back, Pete? Or do you think it'd be a new version of a ride there?
Being that a good portion of the track is still, the original track is still in place, mm-hmm. I think they would bring Maelstrom back maybe slightly different, but I think they would still, I shouldn't say that they would. They could bring it back.
Okay.
I think they would have a lot of people very happy if they did bring it back. Mm. But okay. Besides me and Rod Wheaton's son Jake.
I heard.
We're not the only two.
A lot of crazy venom there from Jake for that ride. I do hear that. So, all right, let me throw up a softball of my own for you guys. And this one seems to be fitting. I'm going to move Buzz Lightyear. And I'm just going to simply move him to Hollywood Studios. And he's going to fit in really well to Pixar Place. But let's be honest. I know that that's some people's favorite ride. I know actually Michael and Christina and Jordan and Cameron like that ride. But it needs kind of a makeover. The problem with Pixar Place is that ride and Toy Story Mania are very
similar.
Very similar. So it needs a makeover somehow. And so I think the idea of the Space Ranger spin could exist, but perhaps not in the version it is right now. But I know it's futuristic, but it really is a Pixar property, and they're making a Pixar land. So if I just wanted to remove it, maybe just to clear out the space, but I had to move it.
They're actually, it's a Toy Story land, not a Pixar land.
Okay.
But they have Pixar specifically said it is a Toy Story land. There is Pixar Place still, and I don't mean to cut you off, Scott. I know where you were going, because I have something that involves that too. So
okay.
Same here.
Good, good, good. I'm glad then. That was just my opening one. It seemed to be the most obvious one to kind of remove from, you know, just to get it out of Tomorrowland. So,
mm-hmm.
Scott, go ahead. You're number two.
All right. I'm going to say this before anyone else possibly steals it. And Pete, I'm sorry. I don't know if you were going to do this, but I'm moving the Enchanted Tiki Room to the Polynesian.
That was, it's on my list.
Wow. Good one.
Yeah, I think it's a classic attraction that gets, yet again, walked past. People don't pay any mind to it. And I think it's a great show. You know, and I think people would go to Polynesian to get their Dole Whip and Enchanted Tiki Room. Hmm. I think it would be better served at the Polynesian.
Hmm. So a Walt Disney original, you're picking up and you're moving it out. And you're making it for
to one of the original resorts.
Yeah, but you're making it for free. I'm not knocking it. That definitely would increase the traffic over to the Polynesian.
And it frees up some more room in Adventureland with Aladdin being gone and Tiki Room being gone.
Hmm. Interesting. I'd sure miss that. I'm not even sure what the building's called, but the architectural look of their building. You know, the multi-tiered tall structure. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Roof structure, I'd sure miss seeing that. So, good one, Scott. You brought your A game today, your imaginary A game. I've got like the D game, Pete. What do you got? What grade do you got, Pete?
I'm gonna go B minus to solid B, baby.
All right, I got some good ones. I'm on the way back. All right, big guy, what do you got?
All right, so we're gonna clear out some room in Tomorrowland. Let's really clear out some room in Tomorrowland. Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor goes to Hollywood Studios, becomes part of Pixar Place, because, I mean, let's be honest, there is nothing futuristic about the Laugh Floor. I mean, really.
Okay.
I'm definitely tackling that one later.
Okay.
But yeah, I agree.
Is that on your list too, Scott?
That is on my list, although I think I might have just gotten rid of Monsters, Inc.
Altogether?
Yeah.
You literally moved it out of the park and into the parking lot and then disassembled it? Okay.
I blew right, it
well,
up.
Well, let's...
Wow. Holy cow, Pete's got a sign on his thing. Really? Pete, you are brutal. Not for you, Scott. He's got the word. Tell him what you wrote.
Stitch's Great Escape is moving to the trash.
Holy cow.
Just be done with it.
I have that,
Let
too.
It go. See? I'm not the only one.
You guys must have texted each other.
No, wow. not at all.
You gotta cut your losses sometimes, you know?
Okay. So literally Tomorrowland's gonna have, you know, Space Mountain and the
I have something moving in there, don't worry.
Okay, we're moving something in. Good. All right, here, I'm going to throw something at you guys, and I'm going to take you back to the World Showcase, but I'm moving something in. Now, I can't figure out how to do it just yet. I'm going to move Big Thunder Mountain to the American Adventure in Epcot, and I'm putting it in the back, and we're going to go from the makeover, which is a fictitious story. We're going to actually highlight the spirit of the American West, and we're going to actually go with an American West theme, Tall Tales theme. We're going to have it be a idea on the American West, and it's going to be an attraction on the back of the park. It seems to be a natural fit. American West, got a train ride. Just how do I do it? Because actually the look of it, it would almost be hidden, and I don't want to hide it, and I can't move it out front. I want to actually...
The American West area is called Frontierland, which is where it already is.
I got to push back on this one.
I can't go with you on this, buddy.
No, it's okay, but I need something for the back of that park. You know what I'm saying? It's one World Showcase after another.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I actually, that is one of my moves here.
Okay. So, my Big Thunder, they voted down no. I'm sure someone might think it's a good idea. Perhaps my mom, but anyways, we'll go on,
Chris,
to you and Scott.
We both know I'm your mom's favorite.
This is true, Pete. This is so true. All right, Scott, you're up, buddy.
So I'll build off that since we're on the topic. I'm actually moving a ride from Epcot to another part of Epcot. I'm moving Soarin', and I'm moving it because it doesn't fit into Future World. But all you have to do is relocate it within the same park, assuming, and I think people might push me back on this one, America is removed, because we are already in America. We don't need an American pavilion, plus we have Liberty Square and Magic Kingdom, so I feel like you don't need it, but you turn it into almost a world market, where you kind of, you remember in the 2000s, they had, now it's just a special event location, but they basically took a bunch of countries in. It's the closed-off section. I believe it's between Canada and, oh, it's right next to Canada,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
It's in the back, yes, in like a tent. Yeah. Yes, okay.
It just took, it was a world showcase in and of itself. It had more countries, so I think you turn that into it, and then I think Soarin' Over the World fits in a lot better when it's back there. And I'm actually also probably moving, I'm going to do a double move. I'm moving It's a Small World there too.
Whoa.
So Soarin' and It's a Small World.
Hmm. Well, I got to be honest. I don't know about removing, but I kind of like the idea of mine. Maybe you put it in the back. But you know what? I see that. And the Small World, do you put that essentially where the American Adventure is right now, or do you find a new space for Small World?
I a lot of my moves are connected. I'm actually moving American Adventure later on.
Wow. What do you think, Pete?
I'm hard pressed to okay removing the American Pavilion, being that that's the host pavilion for the rest of World Showcase.
And Scott, Golden Dream does bring a tear to Pete and my eye when we hear it. So
no, I love it too. I would not get rid of that. Trust me.
Okay.
But that I'm actually I don't know if this is ruining my list down the line, but that's going to Liberty Square.
Oh, see, that's professionally done. You actually snuck in one when we didn't expect it. Okay. Let's hold on to that.
Yeah.
Peter, hit us up with a good one.
All right, since we're worried about there being nothing in Tomorrowland.
Okay.
I'm taking Test Track out of Future World, and I'm moving it over to Tomorrowland. And here's why. The cars that we're supposedly, quote-unquote, designing for Test Track are supposed to be future prototypes for models that are somewhere down the road.
Okay, I could see that.
So you have that. You've got Stitch's Great Escape, which I've already thrown in the trash. And you've got Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, which is now gone over to Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. And you have all of that area to put Test Track in.
Okay. I don't know. I like Test Track in Future World. And I'll explain that later why. But.
I could see that, though, Pete. That would be a natural tie-in, essentially, is the futuristic approach to that, your design of the car. And when you're in the queue, all of that is just like beta mode for cars, you know, and what's at the auto show. So, okay, I could see that. That's interesting. I'm going to take you guys on a train ride. Not the big train. The Walt Disney World Railroad is staying. I'm taking the train from the conservation station, and I'm removing the conservation station train. And I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to connect Animal Kingdom Lodge with Animal Kingdom, and then I'm branching off. I'm going to continue on with the Narrow Gauge Railroad. I'm going to connect it to the All-Stars. And that goes, and it solves some of the overcrowding on the buses, because I understand the waits can be extraordinarily long. Looping over to the Hollywood Studios and then back again. Because geographically on a map, it would work. Kind of makes a unique form of transportation down there. You encompass four or so resorts, a couple theme parks. Maybe the train doesn't quite alleviate all of the flow of the buses, but it does alleviate something. And it gives a unique mode of transportation, a la a monorail, a la a boat, you know, a ferry. Something different down there. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea.
Holy cow.
I like
it. It's the first one I've ever had, Pete. I'm not sure how to handle this. What do you think, Pete? Come on, you know me well. Scott, he's not going to give me any credit.
It's not a bad idea. No, I've given him credit in the past.
But that would raise up the prices of the All-Stars, though, I have to say.
Maybe.
It would.
Maybe. But it's kind of a unique form of transportation, and you'd hear that steam whistle coming from the distance. Wouldn't it be exciting? You know, when you see the boats and you hear the boats at the Wilderness Lodge, it's like, this is going to be fun getting to the park. That was my thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's good.
All right.
And being a member of Animal Kingdom, I would definitely like to see a train connected to Animal Kingdom.
And not to mention, Hollywood Studios is going to have their hands full getting people both to and away from that park very shortly. They're going to have a transportation nightmare. Pete, don't even say it. Don't even say it. Don't even say the gondolas. So, okay. Scott, you're up, buddy.
All right. I am doing a smaller, less offensive one. And I'm moving Rock and Roller Coaster to the All-Star Music. Because it never fit in with the theme of Hollywood Studios, personally. And it's definitely not going to fit in with the theme unless you retheme Rock and Roller Coaster to, I think I had mentioned to you before on Facebook, unless you turn that into the much-anticipated Who Framed Roger Rabbit ride. Mm-hmm. I don't think it fits there. And I think it's a stupid move. Because you're giving away one of the best rides for free. But I just don't think it fits anywhere, really, except for All-Star Music.
I think that's why they have it off in the corner where you can't see it from anywhere else in the park.
Kind of like a placeholder, huh, Pete? Until they can figure out something better to do with it at this point, or a way to retheme it?
Or a better way to theme it, yeah.
Theme it. Well, let's think. The period it's around, you couldn't play big band in Glenn Miller music, that would not work. You know, the obvious tie-in would be at the war, but that would certainly not be something they could promote with that. But not bad. Right. Not bad, Scott. I could see it moved. I'm just not sure if they'd move it to the resort, but I do agree with you. It is... It kind of sticks out.
It would fit It would fit the time period if you did it Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I think that's a kind of a perfect fit with the Tower of Terror.
Okay, so here's what he's going to do, Pete. He's going to move it away, he's going to re-theme it, and then move it back. See that? It's a double jump. All right. You're up, big guy.
All right, this is going to be this is a double move.
Uh-oh.
First, we're going to take One Man's Dream, move it over to Magic Kingdom, and it's going to be located next to and above the firehouse as if it were in Walt's apartment in Disneyland. Mm. Then we take the Pixar Short Film Festival out of Epcot, and it goes over to Hollywood Studios where it belongs, right next to Pixar Place in the old One Man's Dream studio or theater.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Good double move. Now describe to me where it's moving by the firehouse, buddy. Because right next to it is like that's where guest services are located. And
well, there's actually room in between those two.
That's where the bathrooms are located. I think so they're bathrooms.
You redo the bathrooms. That's not a big deal.
Okay. I see the point, though. The way to free up the Pixar film is to put it right where it would need to be.
Where it belongs in Pixar place,
where it needs to be. I do see that.
What do you think? I like that move. I like
One Man's Dream being, you know, kind of where his apartment is in Disneyland, only in Disney World.
Hmm. That's a tasteful move.
I like
real classy. I like it.
I like that. All right. I'm going to cheat right now, guys. Okay? I'm going to cheat in this sense. I'm not particularly moving an attraction because this attraction doesn't exist anywhere else other than in California. But I don't want that attraction. I want something like it. But I am moving.
Sounds like you're cheating.
I am cheating. I'm clearly cheating here.
It's quite the stretch, I think.
I need a Ferris wheel. And I don't want Mickey's Fun Wheel. By the way, if you ever make it out to California, that is a devilish creation, but it's just awesome. Do Mickey's Fun Wheel. I can't recommend it highly enough. But I need a Ferris wheel. And I want to locate it at the farthest point on the pier of the boardwalk.
Hmm.
And I want to put it on the pier at the boardwalk. I don't care if you charge a nickel. I don't care if it's a dollar. I don't even care if it's free. But I want to put something that ties in the boardwalk theme a little better than games and restaurants. And every boardwalk has a ride. But they're clearly marked for space there. But something where you'd actually ride out over the water and come back. Right in the furthest point. I know that's where the boats dock, but you could figure that out logistically.
I think you take out Atlantic Dance Floor. That's what you do.
Okay, I like the thought of that, because it goes in the side then, and you would still see the reflection cast on the water from all around.
And I don't think anyone goes to the Atlantic Dance Floor.
No.
No, it does seem to be very quiet usually, so I like that. It's a good tie-in. Pete, what do you think about that?
It's not bad.
Yeah.
If we want to do, like, traditional Jersey boardwalk, don't we really want, like, an old wooden roller coaster, though?
Yeah, I was thinking logistically and monetarily, though. This would be an easy one, right? It doesn't seem that hard to get it in there.
Yeah, but you can put up a wooden roller coaster. It's just a off-the-shelf wooden roller coaster is going to be cheaper than doing a big Ferris wheel.
You do have a lot of space over there as far as the wedding pavilion. When you get on the pathway towards Epcot, you could put a roller coaster in there.
I mean, if I want to go on a Ferris wheel next to the lake, I'll just go down to the Navy Pier. So all three of us can do that.
You're from Chicago. You don't go to Navy Pier, okay?
This is true.
Let's get that straight.
This is very true.
I also don't want to ride on a Ferris wheel next to a lake either, but Scott, it's irrelevant.
Scott, did you see that? He had to try and upshine me again. He had to come out with a better idea. All right. Scott, what's your next one, buddy?
All right, this was my bonus round because I think we have a lot more left here. So I've got two more.
Mm-hmm.
My last one was kind of touched on before, but I'm moving. I'm actually moving quite a few things, but I got Carousel of Progress is moving to Epcot Future World. I think they need to define the difference between Future World and Tomorrowland. I think Spaceship Earth, Carousel of Progress, Living with the Land, they fit into the concept of future world because kind of what you expect in the future or where we've been to. I think Tomorrowland can build off of Fantasyland and show a world of tomorrow that probably won't actually happen or is so far off no one alive now will see it. So you kind of look technology as future world and the fantasy is Tomorrowland, which would fit in perfectly after Fantasyland. But you have Space Mountain Astro Orbiters in Tomorrowland still. And future world, you have Spaceship Earth, Carousel of Progress, Living with the Land, Mission Space, and Test Track.
Pete, what do you think of it? Pete's stumped here, huh?
Well, wait till you get my last one.
You know, Scott, I see it. I think the responsibility would fall on Epcot to make sure the final scene is always updated, though. So it didn't look retro, futuristic, outdated. You know? They would be on them to make sure that that's updated. So,
see, and that's why it still fits into the Tomorrowland that we have is the Tomorrowland that we all thought we were going to have back from the 50s.
Okay.
So it's still kind of, it sort of still fits in that.
Not a bad idea, though. I appreciate the separation and your explanation of that. That's good. Really good. So, certainly better than mine. Pete, what do you got, buddy?
I'm actually taking a quick service restaurant and moving it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come out of Disney Springs, and it's going to go to a pavilion in Epcot that has no quick service. We're going to take your favorite, Chris. The Daily Poutine is going to go to Canada. That just seems to make complete sense to me.
Let's do it. Let's call up Iger right now.
Canada has no quick service. Unless you want to count that cart, but that's not really quick service.
You can get some nice McDonald's fries right next to it.
Poutine is like the unofficial Canadian dish, so.
And I heard it's better than Victoria and Albert's, by the way, too. So
yeah.
That's what I heard.
And Rob Wheaton will back me up on that.
You got robbed on that one.
Thank you! All right. Pete, that's a great suggestion, buddy. And that would be actually pretty easy financially to handle, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. Good. Pete, what do you think about giant man-eating squids? What's your opinion on
that? I think they're delicious.
Okay. Well, how would you like me to bring one back? And let's put that into the Animal Kingdom Park. We could have 20,000
leagues
under the city in Animal Kingdom, and you could function off the same water filtration, purification, and treatment as the Cowley River Rapids. You would have to design it. It might have to take the place slightly of the Maharaja Jungle Trek. But you could actually have some economy and scope there from the water. And what's more exciting than a giant man-eating squid in Animal Kingdom? Are you kidding me? Natural fit. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the best I've ever gotten from Pete. For me, that's an A+. That's an A+, Scott. All right.
That's a good move. I like you bringing it back.
Cool. Last one. You up for your last one?
I'm up for it. I think people are really going to be mad at me for this one. I'm basically getting rid of Fantasyland.
Okay.
I'm moving.
You got a lot of splaining to do.
So I'm keeping. I am actually keeping Fantasyland. It'll stay Fantasyland, but I'm getting rid of pretty much every ride. I'm getting rid of the Mine Train. I'm getting rid of Peter Pan, Dumbo, Winnie the Pooh, Mad Tea Party. But I'm not absolutely getting rid of them. I'm moving them to Hollywood Studios, where I feel it's a main focus on film. And I'm bringing in, and this is another thing, I'm just like getting people mad all over the place. I'm taking Expedition Everest.
This sounds financially responsible right here, Scott. I just want to point this out.
Well, I didn't know we had to do that. But I'm taking Expedition Everest because the Yeti is not real. Not a real animal. I'm taking Journey into Imagination.
Sweet mercy.
And I was actually going to do One Man's Dream, but I do like it at the front of the park more, so I'm going to allow that move to the front of Magic Kingdom.
Hang on, I got to write this down, Scott. This is like a Major League Baseball trade deadline trade where four players go to
each team. It's like a six-team deal. You don't know who's getting who until it's all written out on paper.
All right, one more time. Hit us up with it.
Okay, so you want me to name what is staying and what is leaving?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right, so I'm getting rid of the Barnstormer. That's gone. The Mine Train, Peter Pan, Dumbo, Winnie the Pooh, Mad Tea Party are forming a Storybook Land or something similar to Pixar Place or over at Hollywood Studios. And I'm actually going to keep, even though I don't want to, but I can't run a land on three rides. I'm keeping the Princess Meet and Greet, Prince Charming Regal Carousel, the Enchanted Tales with Belle, and Mickey's PhilharMagic, and moving in Expedition Everest, Journey into Imagination, and, well, I was going to say One Man's Dream, but I'm leaving that out. I'm just basing off of the word fantasy, and I actually looked it up to get a Merriam-Webster definition of the free play of creative imagination, or the power or process of creating especially unrealistic or improbable mental images in response to psychological need. And I think when you move all the fantasy things that really you need to use your imagination are things that are not real. I think that fits in better with Fantasyland.
Wow. Hang on. First off, Scott, what was that from? Where'd you quote that from?
Merriam-Webster.
Pete, what's the only site we trust on the internet?
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, that's all. So if it's from Merriam-Webster, that must just be
Or Urban Dictionary.
Fake news. Okay. Scott, holy cow. You know?
I will say my wife told me not to do that one.
You should listen to her sometimes.
Well, it's complex. It's complex, that's for sure. It's interesting. I appreciate the definition backup, because I guess if you define fantasy along those lines, the move would make sense. I didn't say it was good, but the move would make sense. Interesting. And a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work. Okay.
It took a lot of work.
We thought Hollywood Studios was torn up right now. Can you imagine what would happen if that move were to go down? Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well,
we're closing down for 5 years.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, really?
No doubt. Go to SeaWorld. All right. Peter, what do you got? End with a high note.
I can't. I got a real weak one at the end here.
Okay.
I'm actually going to take something that's closed at Hollywood Studios, although physically still there right now, and that's Gertie's Ice Cream of Extinction, and I'm going to move it over to Dinoland USA at Animal Kingdom.
Natural fit, right?
Seems to make sense to me. Natural. Everything in Dinoland USA is kind of carnival-y, and
okay,
a big paper mache dinosaur seems to fit right in over there.
Okay, it's a natural fit.
That's good.
Pete, I'm gonna help you, and I'm gonna make your day. I'm closing with the best idea I've ever had. All right, so here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna make you smile. The Tomorrowland Speedway gets no love, correct? It's on no one's list of favorite attractions.
It's loud. It's stinky. It's.
I'm keeping it, and here's what I'm gonna do.
Of course you are.
More exhaust.
Just, yeah, exactly. Louder. No pipes. Straight exhaust out the back.
Straight pipes. There you go.
I'm moving it to Hollywood Studios, and I'm opening up all that space, but I'm not moving it in its current form. The bodies are getting a makeover. Each car is going to represent a various
Prius?
Disney car. So you could potentially drive around in a Disney property like Herbie the Love Bug. Right?
I think I see where you're going with this.
All right, so hang on. Herbie the Love Bug, just other famous cars. I'm not quite sure if they're under the Disney magnet, but you could drive around in Knight Rider, Smokey and the Bandit, Starsky and Hutch's Gran Torino. I know they're not all Disney films.
I know,
but I'm sure we can go back and look at all the films and
Why don't we throw some of the cars from...
Hit me.
Wreck-It Ralph?
Wreck-It Ralph. I love it.
You've got all the cars from that.
Pete, see, we're feeding on each other. Now look at that big space. You know what can go in that big space, Pete? Just a little ride called Test Track in the big space that Tomorrowland Speedway was sitting in.
Yeah.
Huh? Huh?
Yeah. Now, I was certain you were going to put a car dealership in there.
No way. I've got that secured outside the border. Don't worry. We're good there. That's done.
Universal.
Tamara and I have agreed upon this. We're good. What do you think? We're gonna recharacterize all those cars and make them Disney properties you can drive around in, as opposed to 1974 Corvette Stingrays, which are pretty cool, by the way. What do you think?
I like that idea.
Yeah, that's good.
Wow. Chitty chitty bang bang.
Pete
can be one of the cars,
right? See, I just have to do a little more research on the vehicles. I like.
Yeah, cars from Disney movies.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I was busy looking at Wikipedia, all right? Give me credit.
Like the Batmobile.
Right? Well, what else has Universal put out recently that a car in?
Every car from Fast and Furious.
Right? Okay, I gotta
be honest.
How about
the cars from Cars?
Yeah.
Pete.
That would be a
natural. They came up with three movies from... just called Cars, Chris.
All right, so listen. I wrote Starsky and Hutch, and at that point, I was going crazy because all I wanted to do was drive around in Starsky and Hutch's Gran Torino. But, yeah, I guess that little movie called Cars makes a lot of money, right?
I do have one more we can do. If we're going to put Test Track over where Tomorrowland Speedway was, and we still then have Monsters, Inc. and Stitch's Great Escapes area available... What if we steal the Tron Light Cycle coaster from Shanghai drop that into Tomorrowland?
That is actually a real live rumor, I think, right now.
Wow. That would be awesome.
Of a replacement of the Speedway.
Man, hey. You'd be hard-pressed to sit in the Gran Torino or the Light Cycle. Which would you pick?
The Light Cycle.
Yeah, the Light Cycle.
Except for
that's
me.
Not even a question.
Except for me standing in line. All right.
Yeah, Chris is sitting there. I'm waiting for the Starsky and Hutch line to open up.
Yeah, exactly. Fast pass. All
next
right.
Thing, the next one he'll ride is the Dukes of Hazzard General Lee, right?
As long as, let's see, Cooter is behind me in his pickup truck, right? Uncle Jesse gets to sit with me. All right. Scott,
Roscoe P. Coltrane is behind the shrub down the street.
I've got the Basset Hounds. Scott, we have caused devastation and thrown terrible ideas at the Disney company. What's the chances anyone actually listened and would actually consider any of our ideas? If zero was truly zero and 100% represented absolute, where do our ideas rank?
I'm going to say probably around a three. On certain ideas, but as far as us getting banned from the parks, we're probably a 10.
Pretty strong. Pete, 3 I thought was pretty high. What are you thinking?
I'm guessing the odds of that are probably a little lower than me winning the Powerball the day after I win the Mega Millions.
It's not good.
So you're saying you've got a chance.
You've got a chance.
Yeah.
I like it. Scott.
Sure.
Let's wrap up this train wreck, so to speak. So if anyone wanted to contact you, Scott, how could they do it?
I don't know why you would, but if you had to, on Twitter, I'm at Buzz Skywalker. One word. At Buzz Skywalker.
Okay.
I have about 3 tweets, so get your reading glasses.
Okay. And on Facebook?
Yeah, I don't even know how to get a hold of me. I think I made it pretty hard to get a hold of me.
Okay.
I think go through the WDW page and look for some posts, and that'll be your way.
There you go. And if you want to get a hold of Scott, let us know. We'll get a hold of Scott, and he'll get back to you. Right?
Maybe. We'll see.
Kinda. Okay.
Something like that.
For getting a hold of Pete or myself or even Laura... go to our page on Facebook, the WDW Review podcast, and, you know, we'd appreciate it if you liked our page on Facebook. If you stuck with us this long and you're still listening, please go to iTunes, please go to Stitcher, leave us a review, give us a rating.
We'd prefer 5 stars if you're willing to lie for us.
If you're willing to embellish the truth a little bit, we'd sure appreciate that. And I think that's just about it. Scott, you know, I enjoy...
I got one more question for Scott, though.
Oh, please.
Scott, you've listened for a while now, so you should know what question's coming, right?
No, I don't.
What are we putting into the fifth gate of extinct attractions and restaurants from you?
From me? You know, I...
What's going that you went back more than anything?
You know, I gotta say... Snow White's Scary Adventure.
Well, that's good. That's really good.
It kind of hurt my feelings that they got rid of that ride. I know they have the Mine Train, but Snow White started it all. And to get rid of it for a meet and greet didn't feel too good. So I would definitely bring back that ride.
Okay.
Solid answer.
Yep.
Solid answer, brother. So there will be a day soon, Pete, Scott, Chris, we're going to go out, get ourselves something to eat, guaranteed. Bring Harrison. Bring your beautiful wife. Pete will bring his beautiful wife. I'll bring my family. We'll all have a great time, and I appreciate you joining us today, buddy.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Cool. So, for my buddy Pete, for my buddy Scott, I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and have a great day.
See ya.
Scott, you got to get one off. You got to sign one off here.
Take care, guys.
All right.